Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends, and welcome to Fire on the Earth. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. I'm here again today with Dr. Ralph Martin, who's been leading us through, I think, a very, very inspiring and interesting conversation around the miracle of Fatima and the whole story of Fatima. So I've asked him to come back again today to join us. He'll be here tomorrow as well. I'd encourage you, if you haven't been able to hear the programs this week and you're just hearing it for the first time, go to our website at renewalministries.net. All the programs are archived there. You can listen to them right on your computer or download them on whatever device you have. You can listen to it at your own convenience. It's really good stuff. And I also want to encourage you to encourage your friends to tune in, because I think this is a message that is directly applicable to every single one of us. So welcome back, Dr. Martin.
Thanks, Peter. Thanks for giving me a chance to obey the Lord and spread this message, which is so relevant for every single one of us today. In the second apparition on June 13th, Mary said that Francisco and Jacinta are going to be taken to heaven by her soon, but Lucy's going to stay around for a while, another 87 years.
Yeah.
And that she needs to learn how to read and write, because she needs to make this known to people. She says, "Yes, I will take Jacinta and Francisco soon, but you are to stay here for some time longer. Jesus wishes to make use of you to make me known and loved. He wants to establish in the world devotion to my Immaculate Heart." Now, I know that's a little bit of a troublesome thing for some people. Like, why would Mary be put next to Jesus like is happening? And later on, one of the apparitions says, God has decided that he wants to establish devotion to my Immaculate Heart. What's devotion to the Immaculate Heart of Mary mean? What is the Immaculate Heart of Mary? It's the heart of the human being who has most loved God, most understood him, most surrendered her whole being to him, and is now most glorified by him. And her path is like a sign for us of what God really wants for all of us. He wants all of us to be next to his Sacred Heart. He wants all of us to be in intimate relationship with him. He wants all of us to be glorified like he glorified Mary. And so it's sort of like it's a little bit shocking, like, gee, what about Jesus? Isn't he the only mediator? Isn't he the center of everything? He certainly is. And any role that Mary has is only because it's a role that Jesus has given to her. And when we forget the depth of the mother-son relationship, the mother-child relationship, it's probably the deepest relationship in human life. It's bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. Jesus is bone of her bone and flesh of her flesh. He comes from Mary, you know. And that relationship isn't less in heaven, it's more. You know, yeah. That relationship isn't less between Jesus and his mother. It's the most intense there is, you know. It's, and so he wants her to be loved, just like any son wants his mother to be loved and honored. And so that's what's going on here. And there's also just another one of those shocking decisions of God. He's decided to entrust some really important things for the future of the world into the hands of Mary. Just like he decided to entrust some incredibly important things for the future of the world in the hands of the 12 apostles.
Yeah.
I mean, he decided to entrust the whole fruitfulness of everything he did and everything he taught into the hands of some pretty normal human beings, just like the three children of Fatima, pretty normal human beings. Yeah. See, these are pretty normal guys, you know, until they met the Lord. Yeah. And God decided to entrust the future of his mission into the hands of these 12 human beings. Now he's deciding, as we face this tremendous, maybe the final confrontation, we don't know, to entrust a particular prophetic and evangelistic role into the hands of Mary. So I'm not going to argue with him. I'm going to pay attention to what she's saying.
And she's at the service of Jesus. She's at the service of her son. And the church is not saying that there's something in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ that's insufficient for the salvation of the world. I mean, Jesus is the only Savior of the world. Jesus Christ sacrifices what saves the world on the cross. He's the one who put sin to death and was raised from the dead, and he began the new creation in his own being.
Yes.
But Mary's the first disciple.
Yep.
And the Queen of Heaven and Earth, she's the one the Lord is holding up saying, look, follow her. Follow her heart. Love like she loved. Obey like she obeyed.
Yep.
Be humble in service and receive as she did. So,
yep.
I mean, that's just I think, helpful to clarify that.
You know, certainly is, Peter. Now, the next apparition, the third one, July 13th, really significant. We don't have time to go into it all, but this is where Mary opened her hands and bright light came from her hands, and the children were given a vision of hell. This is what they saw. This is what Lucy wrote. The rays of light seemed to penetrate the earth, and we saw, as it were, a sea of fire. Plunged in this fire were demons and souls in human form, like transparent burning embers, all blackened, floating about in the conflagration. And then just going on with the description. The demons could be distinguished by their terrifying and repellent likeness to frightful and unknown animals, like burning coals. Terrified, as if to plead for help, we looked up at Our Lady, who said to us so kindly and so sadly, "You have seen hell, where the souls of poor sinners go. To save them, God wishes us to establish in the world devotion to My Immaculate Heart. If what I say to you is done, many souls will be saved and there will be peace." We know that there wasn't sufficient repentance between World War I and World War II, that there wasn't peace, and that a greater war came. And we know that we're in danger now of even a greater war if her requests are not heeded. This so struck Jacinta that hardly a day went by where she didn't say to Lucy and to Francisco, "Have you made a sacrifice today for sinners so that they don't go to hell?" Her whole life became consumed with the salvation of souls. And honestly, that's really what's going on in the world today. That's the only significant thing, the salvation of souls. And so many people have lost sight of that. So many people don't have their eye on the ball. So many people don't understand this. So many people, when they think about the well-being of their children, their friends and relatives, think about getting good educations and making a lot of money, et cetera, getting good medical care. And all those are goods, and there's nothing wrong with wanting them for people. But what does it profit a person if he gains the whole world, if he makes a lot of money and gets the best education and gets the best medical care, but suffers the loss of his soul?
Yeah.
You fool. This night your soul will be required of you. That's the wake-up call of Jesus.
And that's forever.
Yeah.
And that's forever.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think, Rob, just think of how much our culture is set on perpetual entertainment, you know, uninterrupted noise, all this stuff that makes it very difficult to hear God, to think about the things of God matter. And then we get trained in a consumeristic culture to be preoccupied with our own comfort. And here God is saying, offer sacrifices, you know, make reparation, you know, do difficult things. You have to unplug from the whole pattern of this world to see the value of that.
Absolutely,
right?
Absolutely. And there's nothing that's said in these apparitions that aren't part of the doctrinal teaching of the church and the explicit words of Jesus and the apostles. It's like the Lord is sending a prophet to awaken us to what Jesus has already revealed
exactly.
to us. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. You know, there really is a broad way that leads to destruction, and many are traveling on it. There's a narrow way that leads to the kingdom, and few are finding it. And Mary's here to help more people find it.
You know? Oh, but those are such negative words, Ralph. It's such a negative outlook. I mean, that's kind of what people would say. That's just such a big downer or something. How do you respond to that?
Well, to the fleshly person, to the worldly person, yes, it's negative, but it's the mercy of God. It's the mercy of God trying to wake us up to the foolishness and darkness and blindness of our minds and the foolishness of our choices and the veil that's kind of come between us and reality. He's trying to wake us up. He gives us a vision of hell here. He gave the same thing to St. Faustina. Twice now in the 20th century, the Lord has seen fit to underline the reality of hell because he knew that there was a huge deception settling over the world and the church, that God's so merciful that nobody will be lost. And he's saying, no, I'm so merciful, but there has to be a response to mercy. There has to be repentance. There has to be faith. There has to be turning back. There has to be reparation.
You know, it's ironic or sad, you know, how much like the sins of the flesh, sexual sins have been diminished and the seriousness of it in the last 30, 40 years. Like, those aren't the big ones. That's not that big of a deal. And so people are just not as concerned about it. And wasn't it Jacinta?
Yes.
What did she say about that?
When she was dying all by herself in a hospital in Lisbon, Mary came to her and said, you know, hang in there. I'll be back soon to receive you. That's when she also said, war is a punishment for sins, and she also told her that many souls go to hell because of sins of the flesh. And like you say, we minimize those. We say it's no big deal. What the big deal is really pride. Pride is a big deal, but you know, it's a lot of times pride that leads to sins of the flesh.
Yeah, that's very true. That's very true. It's like they reveal the deeper sin.
Yeah. So anyway, this profoundly struck the children, and it profoundly struck us. There really is a heaven. There really is a hell. It really matters what people believe. It really matters how they live. It really matters whether people respond to the prophetic warning that God is giving us in his mercy. It's all in the scripture. It reminds me of that parable about Dives and Lazarus, you know, that the rich guy ends up in hell. The poor guy ends up in heaven. And the guy in hell says, hey, could you please send somebody to warn my brothers, you know, so they don't end up here? And, you know, the answer is, hey, you know, they have Moses and the prophets. You know, it's all there. They've been told already what they need to do not to end up in hell. And even if somebody would return from the dead, they still wouldn't believe in talking about the resurrection of Jesus,
right,
you know,
right.
Type of thing. So we got a serious situation here of blindness and rebellion and darkness.
And it kind of answers an objection that some people give sometimes, like, well, why doesn't God send Mary to bigger crowds and more people? And why doesn't he do more to help us? And it relates to this very story.
Yeah, well, you know, the children said, Mary, could you please? No, they didn't even know who she was. She's just this beautiful lady from heaven. Could you please tell us who you are and give some sign so people know we're not liars and they'll stop beating us, you know?
Yeah.
So she says, on October 13th, I will. That was the tremendous miracle of the sun, 70,000 people. It's raining. All of a sudden, Lucia cries out, put your umbrellas down. And they put their umbrellas down. And all of a sudden, the sun began to spin in the sky. The rain stopped. Multicolor started coming from the sun. All the wetness dried up. And people thought it was the end of the world. The sun was plunging towards the earth. And people were crying out publicly their sins. They were repenting, which was a good thing to do, you know,
yeah.
That type of thing. Because that's going to come for all of us. And the secular newspapers wrote about it. It was a public miracle, validating who she was. And then she says, I am Mary. And then a lot of other things happened as well. But that's basically what happened, that this was verified by a public miracle that was totally outside of any human beings.
And people
control.
Who are listening, who are kind of hearing this for the first time, literally, you could Google this. You could see the French newspaper articles on it. You could see the people who covered the whole story and explained it, totally secular people describing what they saw and what they
encountered.
Yeah,
lots of testimonies to it, lots of firsthand testimonies by people who were there, everything describing it, no question about it. So I'd like to, how much time do we have?
We just have a little over a minute, so maybe just kind of stick. I'd like to just press in, Ralph, a little bit to this theme about how important it is from God's perspective that we understand eternal consequences.
Yes.
At a time when nobody wants to talk about it.
Yes. People need to know that life is short and only one thing is necessary. If your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off, Jesus says. If your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. Better for you to enter heaven missing an arm or a leg or an eye than to go to hell with a completely intact body. And what Jesus is saying, of course, is not literally cut off your arm or cut off your eye, but he says, take whatever measures you have to take to turn away from sin. Do whatever you need to do. Throw out your computer. Turn off the TV. Cancel your cable subscription. Give away your iPhone. Or just do whatever you have to do to turn away from those things that are blocking your relationship with God and keeping you a slave to sin. Do whatever you have to do. And I think that's really something that everybody needs to know. There's only one thing necessary to die in friendship with the Lord, with our sins forgiven. The greatest tragedy that could ever happen to somebody is to die in their sins, unrepentant, unforgiven, rejecting mercy.
And today is the day of your salvation, friends. If you're listening and tuning in, to be able to say, you're hearing something stirring in you, to just turn to God right now and ask him to forgive you and to lead you and give your heart to him. Go to confession. Go knock on the door of a priest. Talk to somebody and say, look, I want to get right with God. I just haven't been paying attention to this, and I want to pay attention. I don't know what to do. Help me get where I need to go and get serious, because Jesus wants to prepare you to meet the Father. That's the biggest thing on his heart. So, friend, take it seriously today. God bless you. Hope you can tune in again tomorrow. Have a good day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Light in the Darkness. We're living in difficult, unsettling, and even dark times. We're engaged in a spiritual battle that is intensifying. I wrote this short booklet to help you understand the nature of the battle we're facing and help you lay hold of God's abundant grace for you in these challenging times. If you'd like a free copy of my new booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or contact us on the web at renewalministries.net.